Hello, and welcome to episode 462 of Ords Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83, and I'm drinking.
Not a pun! Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hey guys, what you up to? Nothing? Free time? Ample? Ample free time all around?
I will say, I probably have more free time than you guys because of... just slightly. Because
do you?
Well, because I did my homework as it came in.
No one likes you, Megan.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, mercy me. Sorry, Joe, we interrupted you.
No, I was just going to scream into the void. That's all. Shut up!
You know what just popped in my head? This is kind of going to be a good one. Popped in my head is that gif that you sometimes say send where it says screams in fact.
Yeah. I never get that gif. Which one is that?
Is it RuPaul Drag Race? And it's like a distorted face or whatever.
Oh, it's pheromone. It's her. Like in one of the Untucked episodes with her like mouth really wide open. Can that just be the photo
of the podcast?
Of the post?
Okay. So welcome to our little coffee talk here. We're just hanging around the water cooler and just not even recording a podcast, I guess. We're just having unbridled chit chat. So this, as we are recording, today marks the opening of the Emmy voting window, which will continue for 13 torturous days until June 26th. And there's been a lot of news out about, shockingly, there's not a lot of content, and the number of nominations will be lower this year. So given that, we want to make sure that we here at the Water Cooler Podcast give the Television Academy a guide, if you will, of things to make sure that they pay attention to when they're marking off their ballot. Because so often we find that the members of the Television Academy, they find one show that they watch and they just go straight up and down the ballot. We're looking at you, Succession, or maybe you, The Bear, or The Crown one year, or Schitt's Creek, but that totally deserved every single one of them. But, you know, we like some variety. We like some choice, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we want to be able to not influence, but to help the voting members of the Television Academy. And so this week we're doing our annual, our plea to the Television Academy podcast, where we'll go around and we'll just toss up a few things here and there in random categories where we want to make sure that the members of the Television Academy consider that when they're marking their ballot over the next 13 torturous days. So, with that, speaking of torture, I'm going to hand it off to you, Joey, to go first. Because I know you're not ready.
Nope, I can be. Okay, so I'm going to mention something that I've talked about a lot in the last
fellow travelers.
7 months. Yeah, this fellow travelers, because when...
Joey watched one show this year.
I watched one, just like the Academy, only watched Beef and the Bear. No, I realized because I've talked to basically everybody except Matt Bomer. WardsDaily.com, please read our interviews. But I started to get nervous because I think it's pretty good to get in there for actor. I think supporting actor maybe is the best chance for Jonathan Bailey. Maybe best actor for Matt Bomer. I'm hoping some crass like costumes, main title design, score. I love the score to the show. But I got so nervous because when we had Jalal on, and he seemed very, like, that's not getting anything. He's like, you think a show with faggots that suck on each other's socks is that's going to go anywhere?
Socks?
And now, he sucks on Matt Bomer's, like, socked foot.
I did not know that.
Oh my God, you call yourself an ally. It's Pride Month, you fucking bitch. Anyway, I'm really tired.
God.
Wow. And a little bit of a cunt. Not gonna lie.
Oh my God. Megan has all of her work done. She's a better student than me or parents. So I
Megan does this. I'm gonna interrupt you and I'm gonna explain that reference because Megan is so great because what Megan does is she does an interview and then she immediately sits down and works on that article, maybe within the same day. But Joey and I have such emotional trauma from the interviews for whatever reason that we have to put it aside and revisit it like 2 months later. And so by the time we get to it, we're like, what the fuck do we talk about? Who is this person? Why am I talking to this person? So it takes us really long to write posts.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm jealous of Megan's. This is all just anger out of me, mad and jealous of Megan's work ethic.
So just an extension of your 20 plus year friendship.
Yeah, pretty
yes.
much.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, vote for gay stuff.
So I apologize. I completely interrupted you. So you were talking very poetically about the sucking of Matt Damon. Not Matt Damon. Matt Bomer sucks.
Matt Damon.
That's a Bomer. Traveler.
Matt yeah, that's Damon.
Just... Jesus Christ. What? Did we die? Is this like, did something happen in this?
I don't know, but I was on Twitter the other day and I saw a graphic of the, an illustrated graphic of the ninth circle of hell. And number nine, it was Awards Daily. I'm kidding.
Just anything. Someone asked me the other day, they're like, explain to me what you do for the website. And I was like, there's an Emmy, there's two voting periods. There's phases and people want to get their stuff. I was so tired explaining it. They're just like, oh, wow, that sounds like so much fun. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Fellow Travelers is a really good show. And I want it to get in everywhere. Yeah. So, yeah.
You could be a touch more eloquent with that. Like, what do you think would be the best nomination for that? Like, we all know Jonathan Bailey's getting in because there's seven slots, and you know Jonathan Bailey likes to fill 11 slots. So
if anybody would like to go to my Twitter and look at the somewhat has a lot of views of
yes
somebody,
it does congratulations on that.
Thanks. I did not
yeah
but so I think it getting in for like series and actor would be great because I think I want it to, my ideal world, it would get four acting nominations, direction, and like crafts out the ass. Sorry, it's not out the ass because it's gay. It's just out the ass. That would be up the ass. It's just about. I just think it's pride. A really happy pride. Who's got poppers and lube? Fellow Travelers. Anyway, no, the reason why I love the show is the thing that I noticed when I was doing a lot of these interviews is it's created by, I may have mentioned this before, it's created by Ron Niswaner, who wrote Philadelphia. And I think it's really interesting that he wrote and filmed Philadelphia in 1993, it came out in 1993, right in the middle of the AIDS crisis, you know, little red ribbons everywhere. And now it's 30 years later, 32 years later, and we are still having to talk about the stigma from the AIDS crisis. Not that Fellow Travelers is all about the AIDS crisis. It's only about part of that towards the end. But I think it's a really good example of how people were treated in the 50s and 60s that led to stuff like that and sort of government... resistance / breakdown to just even acknowledge that gay people existed. So the fact that characters die in Fellow Travelers is because like 25 years before that, like if you were thought to be gay, you would have to do these like real, like there's a scene in the show where Matt Bomer has to take a polygraph test and they ask him these like ridiculous questions. It's like, huh, you don't walk like a woman. Like, you're not a very colorful person. Stuff like that. So, I mean, it's sort of eight episodes that sort of encapsulates a lot of really interesting queer history that has been out there for a while, but is sort of not been presented in this way. And also there's socked toe sucking and much more.
Excellent.
You had me at socks.
Please, can someone please talk about another show so I don't keep talking?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think you're taking votes away from fellow travelers.
Yeah, fucking Ellen DeGeneres is like, not for these faggots.
Megan, why don't you make an equally eloquent plea to the Television Academy?
Sure. I'm really worried that the limited series, A Murder at the End of the World, from Britt Marling and Zal Batmajal, I always say his name, last name wrong. I'm really worried that it's going to be completely shut out. And I think that's such a mistake because I just think it's such a special show. And Emma Corrin's performance is so good in it and really so different from their performance as Princess Diana and the Crown. And I just think it should be, I just think it's so different. Agatha Christie, a take on Agatha Christie with like themes around AI, which is interesting. And what a vibe that it's in Iceland. I worry that like, they'll be like, we can't give a limited series in Iceland. We can't give two nominations. It can't be True Detective and A Murderer at the End of the World. But I think there's room for two shows set in like,
an icy environment.
Yeah, and icy environments, but I know that it was filmed in Iceland is why I said that. But I feel like it's like we can't do two, like on Seinfeld, we can't have two Cocos. You can have two Cocos. I know this means nothing to you, you two, but we can have two Cocos in that category. So I think that I really hope that people remember that show because I just think it was fun to watch. It was tragic. It was romantic. It was beautiful. It was shot so well. Production design's amazing. Cinematography, the visual effects, all of it, all the performances were great. So I just really hope that people will remember that show.
Yeah. It's a good show.
Yes. It's a very good show.
It's all Batmanglish is what his name is, I believe. That's how it's said. It's the other Britt Marling's like production partner.
You know, that's a really good example of a show that is just really solid across the board in terms of the sum of its parts. And it's kind of just like the show that just because it is really, I mean, it has all the AI element to it too. That's just a really sort of important, pertinent stuff that we're talking about. But it's also just like, it's just also a really solid entertaining thing. And why can't something that is just really solid and entertaining, why can't that be nominated for stuff?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. My first choice is something that is sort of polar opposite of all of that. And I'm kind of, even now talking about it, I'm a little surprised that I'm mentioning it, but I would love... So when you look at voice acting and the Emmy nominations for that, because there are Emmy nominations categories for voice acting, right? Just as soon as I go down this category, I'm like,
is it narrating? Narrating?
Well, there's narration, and then there's also there's a voice.
Oh, form. You mean like voice work. Yeah. Like animated, like
yeah,
character voiceover. Yes. That's what.
Oh, yes,
character
there's voiceover. Definitely that. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. I was going down this path, I was like, that doesn't sound right. So forgive me. X-Men 97, a sort of a Member Berry's television show that stems from the childhood of millions of teenage boys that is now critically acclaimed, near, I think, unanimous reviews, which has been very surprising, airing on Disney Plus. One thing that's really compelling to me about the show is the voice actors who are all reprising their performances from this, the X-Men, the animated adventures from 20 years ago. And
like from the 90s or like more than 20 years ago, like from the 90s.
Yeah, from 1992. Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't realize that.
It's the same actors. And so they've been able to mature their characters. They've been able to mature their performances. The show is, I mean, it's still mutants and X-Men Marvel Comics nerdery, but it is darker. It takes on, it's a series about trauma. It's a series about the legacy of trauma. It's a series about traumatic events, you know, like 9/11, like Pearl Harbor, you know, like all these things and how it impacts a people. And the entire voice cast gives fantastic performances. I actually interviewed one of the actors, Lenore Zann, who plays the character Rogue. I asked her, I said, how did you know that you were going to be, that you had this capacity for voice acting? And she said, well, all great voice actors are just actors giving great performances. I am stage trained, she said. I've been in many pieces of theater. I've been in many films. But when you're doing a voiceover or a voice performance, it is still giving a performance. You just don't see the actor's face. And it was a really interesting way. My video will post very soon on Awards Daily. But I would love to see Lenore Zann get nominated for her performance as Rogue, because she takes this character on in this series, a massive emotional journey from a character who's in love to a character who loses that love to a character who is, you know, vengeful and rage filled. And she does a fantastic job voicing this character. So I would love to see her get Emmy nominated in the aforementioned category that I wasn't sure existed, but now I'm glad it does.
Yes.
So that's my first choice. So Joey, back to you. Anything else, Gay? Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. I'm doing it every week this month. I would say I'm sorry, but I'm not. I'm sorry.
You're giving charcuterie. That's a callback to anybody that listened last
week. what a water cooler deep cut from last week. So I am gonna talk about a performance that I don't think I've ever talked about so far this season. Is I caught up with Hulu's We Were the Lucky Ones, because I spoke with Thomas Kail this last week about directing a couple of episodes. And it's a Holocaust drama it's based on a novel, but the novel is inspired by the real story of a family who all, they were, oh my God, why am I forgetting what country they're from? They were Polish Jews who were, there's like five kids. They're all adults, but they're all separated during World War II. And the mother is played by Robin Weigert. So this is where the gay stuff comes in. And Robin Weigert is just a really, for the most part of the series, she's with her husband. And she's a very, like, sort of level-headed, calm presence amid everything that's going on. And then after the war is over, they go back to their apartment. And, you know, you've heard many stories about World War II where Jewish people were evicted from their homes, other people, like, took their property. And so there's a scene where they go back. I think she was back with one of her kids. Her whole family hasn't been reunited yet. But the people who answer her own door are very curt, and they say they're going to call the police. And it's the first time and probably the only time out of the whole show, this, you know, very calm, warm, loving woman, she unleashes this fury on these strangers from behind a glass door that I was so, it sort of took my breath away about how she was like, your kids didn't grow up in that house. Did your daughter burn herself on that stove? Did they... I don't know. She names all these things that like happened in her house, and like, how dare you, you know, this is my property. This is my house. We've lived here for 30 years, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought it was a really powerful, explosive moment. And Robin Weigert has never been nominated for anything, I don't think, at the Emmys. I mean, she had a huge breakout in Big Little Lies, and I don't know, that she was really great in that opposite Nicole Kidman. And I don't know that I've been thinking about her performance for a while, you know, for at least a week since I finished the show. And I'm curious if maybe, I don't know if that's too much of a late breaking show. I don't know if like Joey King can get in there, because she's really good in it too. But I would say everyone should check out Robin Weigert in We Were the Lucky Ones. Sorry, that was very long, but here we are.
And just in case people don't recognize her, Robin Weigert played Nicole Kidman and Alexander Skarsgård's therapist in the original season of Big Little Lies.
Oh.
She's mothering. She's gay icon. Bag it.
All right. Megan.
There's so many shows that I mean, I kind of talked a lot about a lot of them with our like shows to watch. But one, I don't know if I mentioned this, maybe I did, but Ted on Peacock, I think, is a show that is really worthy of attention. I know that I'm probably the only one on this podcast who thinks that, but I think it's so funny. And, you know, the people talk about comedies and how, you know, are we able to laugh in this category? And that Ted is a show that made me laugh so out loud. And I want to single out Alana Ubach as the mother on the show. And she's so good. And it makes you forget that, like, she's the mother in Euphoria. She was in Legally Blonde. She's, like, she's such a good actress. And I just think what she does with the role is incredible. And you know, it's about this dysfunctional family. And I was thinking about it. I probably really like this show too, because I respond to, like, I loved Alf as a kid. And I feel like in some ways, Ted is a little bit like Alf, and only a little more foul mouthed and less endearing. And doesn't, I don't think he eats cats, but I just really feel like it also is one of the most watched shows, I think, in Peacock history or something, of in the short-lived network that's happened. Well, you know, it's not very old, not short-lived. It's not, it's, you can tell I'm tired. It's a, you know.
Are you
it's
glitching, Megan?
Yes, I'm glitching. I'm chunking. I just think it's a show that is so funny and should, like, I just think that it should definitely be up for awards. And because if Family Guy can do it, then Ted should be able to do it. And I think that Alana Ubach should be highlighted for best maybe supporting actress in a comedy series.
Excellent. Did they ever decide if it's a series or a limited series? Are they coming back for a second season?
It's a series. I think they're coming back for a second season.
Okay. Excellent. I really should be more inspired to reach beyond performances, but I feel really strongly about two specific performances that have come from limited series this year. One of those is Diane Lane in Feud, Capote versus the Swans. I find something really beautiful about a woman of a certain age coming in and just delivering a fantastic performance and just owning every single scene that she's in. Like, Joey, I don't know if you felt this way about her, but she just comes in and makes it look effortless. She is full of charisma in this performance. She is rageful when she needs to be rageful. She is, you know, charming and sexy when she needs to be sexy. She's just, you know, we forget how talented Diane Lane can be. And this performance, I think, is one of her very best pieces of work. I would put it right up there with Unfaithful.
Yeah, she's really good in it.
And it's, you know, it that show, I don't know what the Academy is going to do with it, because a mutual friend of ours doesn't even think that Tom Hollander is going to get nominated. So I'm not sure. I know she's in danger of getting swallowed up by that, you know, large ensemble. Calista Flockhart is also very good, but it's just, there's just something special about that performance. I really loved it. So Diane Lane would be my second pick. Yeah. Joey, back to you.
A performance in a show. It was a show that I mainly watched for interviews. But in terms of HBO's the sympathizer. I think the lead, I'm really kind of shocked that the lead, Hoa Swande, is not anywhere in the conversation. I think maybe some people are predicting him, but maybe on the lower end of their predictions, like maybe fifth place. That is a show that I had issues with in terms of, I'll just say characters. Played by one actor. And and I think he, I mean, he's a spy during like the end of the Vietnam War. And I feel like he's doing really complex things. Also, while I don't say growing up, because he's an adult, but it's also just like, it's like one of those shows where you're just like, you're trying to deceive anybody. Therefore, do you know who you are? I don't know. It's based on this really beloved book. I think his chemistry with Sandra Oh is really fun. I think it would be a real shame if, I would love to see Sandra Oh get nominated again for this. I think her part's maybe a little too small, but whatever. If like she got in and Robert Downey Jr. got in and he did not, that's just sort of the nature of the size of the category and things like that. But I think his stuff is, he carries that whole show. And you know, playing a young man who is haunted by the violence that he has to do to people and deceive people, and you know, while trying to find a place in the world, that I think it's really impressive, and I feel like it would really suck if he did not get nominated.
Yeah, he is very good in that. Yeah, and I know what you're talking about those other performances, because that has become the focus of that. And I think there's other actors doing much more subtle work. We'll just go with that.
Yes.
Yes. And now we step away and turn the mic over to Megan.
Hello. Back to me. I hope they will check it out this time. I am just going to plea one more time for my show, Love Has Won, The Cult of Mother God, because it's my favorite show from last year, and I see nobody predicting it in the documentary series. I see like Beckham is in there and the supermodels, and I think that's well and good that we want to, you know, highlight these shows, but I just think that Hannah Olsen did something completely amazing with this series, and I hope people remember it. I hope people watch it. I like at least watch it, because I just think it's an incredible show, and I'm so into it, and I thought it was so well done and so immersive into what made this cult, who are these people. It's chilling. It's, you care about these people. You know, I think it gives a lot of different aspects of it, and it does so in a way where the director doesn't pass judgment on them. And I think that's really interesting and really important too, because these are real people and you're presenting their story. And I think it's important to see them as real people. So I am just going to plea once again, please, 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 if you are voting in the documentary series category, please vote for that show.
Excellent. My last pick is another supporting performance from a limited series, and it's Joe Keery in Fargo. An actor who is like, forever seems to be typecast in that Stranger Things role, that the show that doesn't ever seem to, I guess it is ending with season 5, but where, you know, he's kind of ridiculously too old to play that character anymore. But he has done much more complex work in a film that I really loved called Spree. If you haven't seen that, highly recommend you check it out. Have you seen it, Joey?
Yeah.
He's really good in that. Do you think he's good in it?
Oh yeah. That is a wild movie.
That is a really wild movie. It's like it just so taps into the ways that my kids watch and consume media through TikTok and through Twitch and other streams and other mechanisms. But anyway, the reason I mentioned that is because, you know, when I interviewed him, I talked about did that opportunity to perform in that independent film Spree, made for absolutely no money, but to take on a more serious subject, prepare him for something like Fargo. And he had a really interesting answer for that, but he's very good in Fargo. He plays a complete and total loser who is stuck as a man because of his toxic relationship with his father, played by John Hamm. And it's a very, very great performance. I highly recommend it, that the Television Academy check it out and not give him Stranger Things bias, like teen heartthrob bias. He is an actual actor who is really interested in delivering great performances. And I think he's very good in Fargo.
I didn't realize it was him whenever I was watching it. I didn't realize it was him. That's how much he slips into that role.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to spout out anything else that's on your mind, or we can wrap, whichever way you want to go.
I'll just say I want love for Ghosts and Loot. Just give me something.
I guess I'll just shout out other, like Frasier, Girls 5 Eva, please. Resident Alien. Just shows that, like, give these some of these shows a chance that, you know, are so funny and so good that are underrated, and spread the wealth, because you're right, it is going to be like a lot of the same shows probably over and over again. But there's so many good shows out there.
And please, like, this is such a crazy up in the air anything. Please don't be boring. Please don't just, like, give 4 slots in supporting actor in a comedy to just people from The Bear. I know you watch other stuff.
Oh, they're totally going to do that too.
Yeah,
they are going
to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And 3 supporting actor slots to The Bear too. I think. Remember production design, Palm Royale, Ripley. Those are pieces of art. Those sets are pieces of art. Like, you can, especially in Ripley, you can pause any frame in there, print it out, and put it on your wall. That is how beautiful that series is. I'm a little iffy on the drama that's going on there, but the visuals are unparalleled. Yeah, I think that'll do it. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And we'll go with you, Megan.
Oh, shit. what am I watching? Well, I'm reading. I'll tell you what I'm reading. I finished Paul Scheer's book, which was very good. And that was Joyful Recollections of Trauma, his like memoir, which I just have to say, he is such a delight, such a nice person. And I loved hearing about his life and learning so much about him, and even hearing about like the early days of him and June Diane Raphael, his wife, and they're just adorable together. Anyway, highly recommend that book. Now I'm reading Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder.
You need to read that.
And I love that it, spoiler alert, it starts out right away that she thinks she's a dog, and I love that. And so I keep thinking, is this going to be Amy Adams's Oscar play? Like, I'm here for the Amy Adams, like, comeback. I want it to happen really bad. She's one of my favorite actresses. So I'm enjoying that on my walks as I walk my dog, ironically. Other things that I'm looking forward to, I need to see Hitman still.
Do you?
So maybe I'll get to that this week. I do. I don't know. Do I? I want to watch Presumed Innocent too, because I saw that butt pic of Jake.
His butt has looked nicer. That's all I'm saying.
Really? I don't know. I just haven't seen a butt in a while. So yeah, that's probably about it.
Joey.
Not any butt. Okay. I wanna go to a movie so badly. I haven't been to a movie since The Fall Guy, I don't think.
I haven't been to a movie in so long.
I haven't, no.
It's been seven years.
Do they still sell the puppet cord? No, I saw The Strangers, Chapter 1, which I fucking hated.
Oh, yeah, you didn't that.
Like, I want to see, like, I want to see Inside Out. I want to see Furiosa. There's a documentary called Queendom about performance art. Okay. About performance art that I would like to see. That weird Huey Louis Dreyfus bird movie that
Tuesday.
Yeah. That's a horrible title. Unless it has a meaning, I don't know. There's a movie starring, I know, I roll, I was gonna scream, Lena Dunham with Stephen Fry called Treasure that's out. In a Violent Nature, Ezra, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I haven't seen any of these movies, but I also want to see Fargo, which I think my number one show that I want to start watching after I'm done with interviews this week. And then this week is Pride in Columbus, so I am going to two drag shows, one tomorrow night and one on Sunday. I'm going to see Roxy Andrews and Willem. And tomorrow Defoe? Night, I will see, yeah, Willem Dafoe. And then I'm going to see, tomorrow I'm seeing the season 16 winner, Nymphia Wind, will be here. And the drag queen with the best drag name I've ever heard, I'm sticking with it, a mandatory meeting, will be here in Columbus. And I'm going to tell her to, you shut your fucking face. Oh. That is the, and,
my God, Joey. And,
shut your fucking face. You called her a cunt like 15 minutes.
What? No, I called you a cunt.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He was defending my honor.
I laid down a coat in front of a muddy puddle for her.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm just really tired, guys.
Okay, just shut up.
Please.
My turn. I have seen Inside Out 2. My review is up at awardsdaily.com.
Yeah,
now, it is, I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm always mystified when I come out of a film and I'm like, and again, I'll admit there's some, as I write about in the review, there's some personal reasons why I think I really enjoyed it. But aside from that, I think it's a very entertaining film. I think it does not insult the original. It's really entertaining and it's emotional and it's you guys, people who are like, oh, it's another Pixar loser. Those people need to calm down because we'll never have that run again. So just get over it and enjoy the output that comes because it
I was going to say, they're all like, I've watched all the Pixar, like the recent ones, and they're very good. Why are people so hard on them?
You know, the worst, I'm using air quotes, the worst Pixar movie is better than so many other people.
And don't say it's movies. Cars, because I like Cars.
Oh, Cars.
No, Cars 2 is awful. Cars.
Okay. One okay, Cars is fine.
I like Cars. I do too. Life is a highway, but, Joey. I want to ride it all night long.
I don't like to drive. No, I also did not know until today that Paul Walter Hauser does the voice of Embarrassment. I don't know how I missed that. And I'm such a fucking nerd of like actors using their voice, since you're talking about character voiceover. And that sort of blew my mind when I found out that he does Embarrassment. And I was like, that's amazing. That's enough for me. Even if I was on the fence about Inside Out 2, which I'm not, that alone would be like, one take a plea.
I really enjoyed it. And I recommend that everybody go see it. So what else? On TV, I've had screeners for this. This is how busy I've been. I've had screeners for House of the Dragon season 2.
Wow.
For several weeks now. And I have not had an hour to watch a single frame of them.
Wow.
That is how busy it's been, guys. And
I saw a commercial for it. It was like, you're the best new show on TV. I was like, is it? We're doing that already? All right.
You know, I don't know. I'm very excited to catch up to that because I always felt like season one, as much as I like season one, I always felt like it was a preamble to much bigger events. So we'll see. I am reading Ruth Ware's new novel, One Perfect Couple. Did I tell you about this?
What did you describe it as again?
It was
I wanted to read it.
It was like Bachelor in Paradise meets And Then There Were None.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. So yeah. It's really good so far. So I do recommend it. And I'll tell you a funny story. Let me tell you a funny story. Guess right, because the last time I mentioned this, our buddy Jalal messaged me and he goes, I had no idea that you liked Ruth Ware. And I said, yeah, she was great in The Affair.
Oh my gosh, that's hysterical.
He was like, what? And I'm like, oh, that's Ruth Wilson. Oh, at least I didn't say she was great in The Lone Ranger. But it's a very good book, and I am in the throes of it, and I highly recommend it to all. So, does that cover it?
Yeah.
Okay. let's get the hell out of here. But first, I feel like I should apologize for anyone that we may have offended. We are at the end of our ropes. Thank you so much for listening. while we put a noose over our head.
I was like, I apologize for nothing.
Well, I do apologize for calling you please. A C next Tuesday. Publicly on a recorded device.
I love that Joey thought it was me all this time. I knew you meant him.
He just assumed it was you.
Jeez, yeah, thanks. Actually, we should all be offended that Joey assumed it was me that we're talking about.
God, Megan, making it all about you again.
Megan, all right. More well rested. She'd done her homework.
All right. So we are the three M's contributors, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us. And don't forget to check out all our videos at YouTube, where you can find all kinds of things, including our top three videos, two of them by Joey and one of them by Megan. Megan tapped into that Resident Alien crowd, so watch that one. And we all wish you a very pleasant tomorrow, and tell members of the Television Academy, happy voting.